We continue Bezrat Hashem in our Limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Lamed Chet, the fourth line from the top, Amar Lei Rava. This Limud is Leilui Nishmat Shelomo ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Ladisya bat Yakot, Sulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisya, Etarivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devora, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazala lehema shalom. Also lizchut refuah shelema for Elisheva bat Neta, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah, and Chana bat Sulika. We are in the midst of the sugya, learning from psukim regarding the fact that if there is a liability for the death penalty at the hands of Bedin, there is no option to accept money from as a ransom instead of the death penalty. And we learned it from the pasuk of kol cherem asher yachoram min ha'adam lo yipadeh, which the Gemara explained to mean that any ransom that is given to take the place of a death penalty of yachoram min ha'adam, of the death penalty that is at the hands of bedin, lo yipadeh, cannot be accepted. And the Gemara told us at the end, also on the top here of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, that it's to teach us that even in the case where the murderer killed in a downward motion, if it was done b'shogeg, then there is a kapara specified by the Torah, which is the galut to Ir Miklat. So I would have thought maybe that's a less severe death penalty, and in that case a ransom could be accepted. That's what we learn from kol cherem. No, any death penalty, whether it's derech aliyah or derech yerida, upward motion, downward motion of the murderer, makes no difference. There is never a ransom that can be accepted to take the place of a death penalty of one who killed b'mezid. And this was the explanation of Rami Bar Chama. Now, Amar Li Rava, Rava asks on Rami Bar Chama, Ha midetana de bechizkiya nafka. But this halacha we learn already from the braita that was taught in the yeshiva of Chizkiya. De tana de bechizkiya, and we mentioned this previously in our perek, this braita, it was taught in the yeshiva of Chizkiya. Make adam umake behema. We have two psukim that are juxtaposed in the Torah in Parashat Emor. One pasuk says umake behema yeshalemena, and the ending of the pasuk umake adam yumat. In fact, it's in one pasuk, that one who strikes an animal, he pays for it, and one who strikes a human being and kills him, yumat, shall be put to death. So we learn in the braita of the Vechizkiya, make adam umake behema. The Torah here juxtaposed make adam to make behema to teach us, ma make behema, just like by the one who struck an animal. Lo chalakta bo ben shogeg lemezid. The Torah does not make any difference regarding the monetary obligation to pay between if it was done b'shogeg or if it was done b'mezid. You have to pay regardless. Ben mitkaven l'shein mitkaven. Whether he had intention to hit it or to hit something else, makes no difference. Ben derech yerida lederech aliyah. Whether it was in a downward motion or in an upward motion. In both cases, there's a chiyuv. There is an obligation of monetary payment, and we don't say that the Torah made a difference between these cases, lefotro mamon, ela lechayvo mamon. He doesn't become patur in any one of these. He is chayav to pay in any one of these cases with no difference. So too, af make adam, the same thing will apply to someone who struck another human being and he killed him. Lo tachalok bo ben shogeg lemezid. In regards to the exemption from the monetary payment, right? As we know, en adam metum shalem, when there is a death penalty associated with a monetary penalty, we say he only gets the mita and not the payment. So in this also, there's no difference regarding the exemption from money, ben shogeg lemezid. Whether it was a case of shogeg, whether it was a case of mezid, ben mitkaven, neshen mitkaven, whether it was a case where he intended to hit this person or he did not intend to hit this person, ben derech yerida le derech aliyah, and no difference between if it was in a downward motion or if it was in an upward motion, lechayevo mamon, to say that he should also have to pay the money. No, ela lefotro mamon. In all these cases, since he's getting the death penalty, he is patur from the mamon. Now, that is what the Tana de Vechizkiya taught us. Now, just like it's teaching us regarding the fact that there's no difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida regarding exemption from money, so the same thing would apply to our inyan also, that this Braita of the Vechizkiya is teaching us that regarding paying money as a ransom instead of receiving the punishment, also there's no difference between Derech Yerida or Derech Aliyah. We can learn from this pasuk of Makeh Adam and Makeh Behemah that there is no difference whether it's Shogeg, whether it's Mezid, whether it's Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida. The person receives his death penalty and no money can be paid to take the place of the death penalty. So therefore, we're back to the question, why do you need the pasuk of Kol Cherem Asher Yachoram to teach me that there's no ransom in the case of a death penalty? Ela Amar Rami Bar Chama, rather Rami Bar Chama says, it's terich. We need that additional pasuk to teach me that we don't administer two punishments, mita and mamon. It's needed. This pasuk is needed to teach me this, although we already have the pasuk of Velo Yason Anosh Yanesh, it's terich. Salka Data Chamina, I would have thought to say, Hani Mili Hecha Desimait Eno Veharagoba. I would have thought, where do we say that you don't receive both penalties, only one of them, only the mitah? That's when he struck his friend, blinding him in his eye, and with that same blow, he killed him. So it was with one act that he killed him. Sima et eno baharagoba. So in that case, I would say, okay, that's where he only receives the death penalty, not the money. But in a case where he blinded another person's eye and he killed him by means of a different blow in another act, so I would say maybe in this case not only does he get the death penalty for killing but also he should pay for the eye. It's two separate acts. That's why we need the extra pasuk of Kol Cherem to teach me, no, you don't take the money. In the case where there is a death penalty, there is no money to be taken. Amar le Rava, Rava asked still, Hanami, this too, mi'idach tana de v'chizkiya nafka, from another braita that comes from the yeshiva of Chizkiya, we learn. The Tana de Vechizkiya, it was taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkiya, Ayin tachat Ayin, it says in the Pasuk, an eye for an eye, velo Ayin venefesh tachat Ayin. We learn from Ayin tachat Ayin, meaning only in the case where there is, that he struck the eye of his friend and he blinded him. So Ayin tachat Ayin. So there's a payment of the eye for the eye, meaning the monetary payment for the worth of the eye, because of the act that he did. Velo ayin v'nefesh tachat ayin. But you cannot have a payment for the eye and the death penalty of nefesh tachat ayin. So therefore, I already know it from this pasuk. So what are you telling me that we learn it from Kol Cherem? Ela amar Ravashi. Rather, Ravashi says, we still need that pasuk of Kol Cherem. It's terich. Salka data chamina, I would have thought to say, ho'il v'chidushu shechitshat Torah biknas. Since there is a novelty, a chidush, that the Torah introduced regarding knas, regarding a fine, a payment of a fine, which is not a payment of a damage that is caused. Rather, it's a strict Torah decree, a fine that is made, such as in the case of Me'anes. What did the Torah tell me in that case? Afal gav de miktil meshalem. So I would have thought in that case that even though he's getting killed, he pays the knas. Kamashma'alan, that's what I learned from Kol Cherem, that even in the case of a payment of knas, there is no payment if there is also a liability of death penalty. However, what about il ule rabba de amar chidushu shechitshat Torah biknas? Remember? Rabba's shita that we learned previously on the Flamedaled Amud Bet was that in the case of knas, afal gav de miktil meshalem, even in the case where there is a death penalty, you have to also pay the knas. Hai kol cherem mai avidle. So what is Rabba going to learn from this extra pasuk of kol cherem? Answers the Gemara. Savar la ke tanakama de Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Rabba holds like the Tanakama who argues with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Remember? That was the halakha that we learned previously in the daf before, that according to Tanakama, who argues with Rabbi Hanana ben Akavya, someone who makes a neder, he accepts upon himself to pay erko alai, the value of the person who's being taken out to be sentenced to death. So according to Tanakama, since he's being sentenced to death, he has no value, so therefore this vow to say erko alai is not a valid neder, it's not a vow. And where does he learn this? From v'kol cherem asher yachora min ha'adam. Anyone who's being taken out to be executed, lo yipadeh, if a person makes a neder to pay his worth, his value is not something, is not a neder that can be yipadeh, that can be valid. That's what he learns with that pasuk. Rabba will hold like Tanakama. Up until now, we were trying to explain what the pasuk is needed for according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, who argued. But according to Tanakama, we already know that that pasuk is needed for that specific halacha.
The new Mishnah begins, Na'ara shenit arsa venitgarsha. Now, as we know, the din of knas, of the me'anes, of the one who rapes, applies to a na'ara who is a betula. Now, let's say a na'ara was nit'ares, she was engaged, kiddushin was given to her, but before consummating the marriage, venit garsha, she got divorced, and only after that, and after that, onis happened, a rape happened. So now there's a machloket tanaim if knas applies or not. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer en la knas. Rabbi Akiva omer yesh la knas uknasa leatzma. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in this case, although she's a na'ara, but being that she was already meoreset, she was engaged, she doesn't receive the knas. The din of the knas does not apply. According to Rabbi Akiva, it does. And however, it's given to her, as not like the normal case where it's given to her father. It's given to her herself. The Gemara asks, "May tama de Rabbi Yossi Aglili?" What's the reason of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that a na'ara who is me'oreset does not get a knas? Amar kra, because the pasuk by the knas says, Asher lo orasa. It says, Kimtza ish na'ara betula asher lo orasa. If the me'anes was with the na'ara betula who was not engaged, ha orasa en la knas. So we infer from this, from these words, asher lo orasa, that if she was orasa, if she was engaged, then she doesn't have knas. Rabbi Akiva, what Rabbi Akiva responds to that is, asher lo orasa is le'aviha. When the pasuk says that if she was not engaged, that's when the knas goes to her father. What we infer is ha'orasa le'atzma. But if she was engaged, doesn't mean there's no knas. There is knas, but then the knas goes to her. Asks the Gemara, ela me'ata, if so, according to you, Rabbi Akiva, that the words of asher lo'orasa is not coming to exclude the arusa at all from the knas. It's just saying that it doesn't go to the father. So what are you going to say with the word na'ara? Na'ara velo bogeret. Are we learn from the fact that it says na'ara, that it's not, that comes to exclude a bogeret, a grown woman, meaning from the age of 12 and a half. Hachinami de le'atzma. Are you going to also explain that it means that she does get a knas? Bogeret, it's not that she's excluded from not getting knas. She receives knas and she receives it. It just doesn't, what the pasuk means to say by na'ara velo bogeret is that the bogeret gets the knas as opposed to the na'ara who her father gets it. Is that what it means? It can't be, because we know that bogeret does not receive knas according to everyone. And the same question you can ask from the word betula, when it says na'ara betula, which comes to exclude velo be'ula. She has to be a virgin, not someone who was a be'ula. Hachinami de la'atzma, is Rabbi Akiva also going to explain that? No, it doesn't mean she doesn't get knas, she gets the knas, but she receives it. It's just coming to exclude that it doesn't go to the father. Is that the case? It's not true. Everyone agrees that a be'ula does not receive knas at all. So therefore, that's inconsistent with how he's learning from asher lo orasa, that it only comes to exclude her from, that the father doesn't receive, but really she does get. Ela legamre. We see from these two, from the case, from the word betula, and from the word na'ara, that it comes to exclude the bogeret and the be'ula, legamre, totally. So hachanami legamre. So also when it says asher lo orasa, it comes to exclude the orasa, the one who was engaged, legamre, totally, that there's no knas at all. So this is a question on the explanation of Rabbi Akiva. Amar lach Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answers as follows. The words lo orasa is not a problem. Hai lo orasa mi bai le lechidetanya. These words of asher lo orasa is not coming to teach us what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, that if once she was engaged, she doesn't receive knas. That's not what it's coming to teach me. It's coming for something else. Lechidetanya, it's needed for a gezerah shava that we learned in the following braita. And therefore, since it's needed for the gezerah shava, as we're going to see, you cannot be using it to be mema'et to exclude a na'ara who got engaged. So let's see the braita. It states in the pasuk, Asher lo orasa prat le'na'ara shenitarsa ve'nitgarsha she'en naknas divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. As we know, as we already saw, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, he learns from Asher lo orasa that it comes to exclude a na'ara who was me'oreset, who received kiddushin, and she was midgaresh, she got divorced, and then she was ne'eneset, in la knas, there's no knas at all. Rabbi Akiva omer, yesh la knas, u knasa le'avia. Rabbi Akiva says, no, she does have knas, and the knas goes to her father. Just bear in mind for a moment, although we saw in the Mishnah that he said, u knasa le'atzma, so this is contradicting what Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, these words of Rabbi Akiva here in the Braita. The Gemara is going to ask that later on Lamedchet Amud Bet. But for now, we're learning the Braita, and in the Braita, Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, a Nara, even though she was Me'orasa, yesh la knas, and the knas goes to the father. Vehadin noten. And it is even logical to say that even though she was Mit'areset, the knas is received by her father. Why? Ho'il ve'avi ha'zakai be'kesev kidusheha. Since her father is entitled to the kesef of her kiddushin, to the money that she receives for her kiddushin while she is still a na'ara, as the din is, the kesef kiddushin that goes to a na'ara goes to her father. Ve'avia zakai bekesef knasa, and her father is also entitled to the money of the knas, as the Torah says that if she's ne'eneset, the money goes to the father. So, therefore, we compare both. Ma kesef kidusheha, just like by kesef kidushin. Afal pi shenit arsa venit garsha le'aviha. Even a na'ara that was once mitareset, and then she was divorced, and then she received again kidushin while she's a na'ara. The kesef kidushin goes to the father. Af kesef knasa. So too, when it comes to the kesef of knas, afal pi shenit arsa venit garsha le'aviha. Even though she was mitareset and mitgareshet, it goes to her father. The Baita continues and says, Imken, if that's the case, that a na'ara that was mitareset has the same din as any na'ara, matalmud lomar asher lo orasa. Oh, this is what we were waiting for. So what do you learn from the words asher lo orasa? The Torah is excluding, it seems to be, a na'ara who was meoreset. It says only an asher lo orasa, that she was not engaged. So the answer is mufne. This is open lehakish lo veladun hemenu gezera shava. It is open for the sake of making a hekesh to it, comparing to it, and learning a gezera shava. Which gezera shava? Learning from ones to mefate and from mefate to ones. By the pasuk of the me'anes, of the rapist, it says chamishim kesef, but it doesn't say shkalim. By the mefate, by the seducer, it says, kesef yishkol, yishkol means shkalim, but it doesn't say 50. So we need to learn one from each other in order to know the exact amount. How do we learn one from each other? With this gezer shava, using the words, asher lo orasa. Ne'emar kan, asher lo orasa. By the me'anes, it says the words, asher lo orasa. Ve'ne'emar lehalan asher lo orasa. And by the mefate, by the seducer, it says it also. Makan chamishim, af lehalan chamishim. So we learn, just like by ones, it's 50, the number is 50. So too by mefate, when it says yishkol, how many shkalim? 50. Uma lehalan shkalim, and just like by mefate, it says yishkol, meaning the currency is shkalim. So too by ones, afkan shekalim, so too by ones, when it says 50 kesef, it means kesef shekalim. So the words asher lo orasa, we see from the Braita, is used not to exclude a woman who was a na'ara who was me'oreset, rather to use for a gezera shava, to learn ones from mefate and mefate from ones. the Rabbi Akiva. So now the question is that the Gemara is asking, yeah, but my chazit asher lo rasa li gzera shava. Rabbi Akiva, what do you see that forces you to say that the words asher lo orasa that's written by Ones and Mefateh is needed only for this gzera shava that we just learned? And therefore, it's not excluding arusa from knas. Ubetulab, and when it says betula, it's lemiute beula. It is excluding a beula, that a beula doesn't receive knas. Ema, why don't we say the other way around? That betula is used legzera shava to learn from ones to mefate, and therefore betula is not excluding the beula. And the words asher lo rasa prat le'na'ara shenitarsa ve'nitgarsha is coming to exclude a na'ara that was me'oreset, that she shouldn't have knas. So why don't we say the other way around? How do you know to say that the one who's me'oreset has knas, and asher lo rasa is used for the gzera shava, whereas the betula does not have knas the be'ula does not have knas because betula is excluding? Say the other way around. Betula should be used for the gzera shava. It does not exclude the be'ula. The be'ula will receive knas. And asher lo rasa excludes the me'oreset, that she should not receive knas. Why don't you say that way? So the Gemara answers, mistabra, because it's more reasonable to say that asher lo rasa is le gzera shava, and not to exclude arusa from knas. Why? Shehare ani kore b'na'ara betula. Because after all, by the me'orasa, by the na'ara who was only engaged, I can still see in her the fulfillment of na'ara betula, which is written in the parasha. She's still a na'ara, and she's still a betula. And therefore, it makes sense to say that she should receive knas. But a be'ula is not a na'ara betula. She's not a virgin, therefore it's mistaber, it's reasonable to say that she should not have knas. The Gemara asks, adrabah, but on the contrary, betula l'gzera shava. Use the word betula for gzera shava and not to exclude be'ula from knas. Shehare ani kore ba asher lo rasa. Because I can hear, I can see fulfilled in the be'ula asher lo rasa. Because a be'ula that she engaged in relations previously with Znut, that's included in asher lo orasa, she was never engaged. So therefore, asher lo orasa is fulfilled, and the word betula is used for the gzera shava, not to be mema'et a be'ula. Answers the Gemara, no. Mistabra ha'ishtane gufa ve'halo ishtane gufa. It's much more reasonable to say that the na'ara me'orasa should have a knas and the be'ula should be excluded from knas. Why? Because the be'ula ishtane gufa, her body is different. She's no longer a betula. Therefore, it's reasonable to say she doesn't receive the knas. However, but the arusa lo ishtane gufa. Her body didn't change just by becoming me'orasa, just by getting engaged. And therefore it's mistabel to say, it's reasonable to say that she should receive knas, because her defect is bigger. She should receive the knas from the me'anes. And that's why Rabbi Akiva learns the gzera shava from the words asher lo orasa. He uses asher lo orasa for the gzera shava and not to exclude arusa. Rather, a betula excludes the be'ula. So the Gemara asks now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who learns from asher lo rasa to exclude the me'orasa, hay svara minale. From where does he know that the chamishim kesef that is written by Ones is shkalim, and the shkalim that are written by Mefate is chamishim, is 50? Minale. Are he used asher lo rasa for teaching us to exclude the me'oreset. So it's not open for the gzera shava. So where does he know the halacha from? Nafkale midetanya. He learns it from what we saw in the following braita. It says by the mefate, by the seducer, in the pasuk it says, ve'imma'en yema'en avia letitalo, kesef yishkol kemohar habetulot. Sheyeheze kemohar habetulot, that the payment by the seducer is kemohar habetulot, like the dowry that is given to betulot. Umohar habetulot kaze. And the mohar habetulot, and what's given to the betula by the me'anes, is kaze. In other words, from the words kesef yishkol kemohar habetulot, the words kemohar habetulot already compares the case of mefate to the case of me'anes. And the other way around as well. So therefore, the 50 that is written by me'anes is applied to the mefate,
and the shkalim that is written by the mefate is applied to the me'anis. Now the Gemara comes back to ask that question, Kashya de Rabbi Akiva ad Rabbi Akiva. We have a contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva in the Braita said that the Na'ara who is Me'oreset receives the Knas, but the Knas goes to the father. And Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah holds the Knas goes to herself. Goes to herself. Answers the Gemara, Tere Tana'e ve'aliva de Rabbi Akiva. You see here clearly that there are two Tana'im that argue in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. One student held Rabbi Akiva said the Knas goes to the father. One held the Knas goes to herself. So now the Gemara asks, Bishlama Rabbi Akiva de Matnitin. It is understood according to the version of Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, where the Knas goes to herself. Lo atia gezera shava umapka lelikra mipshate legamre. At least the gezera shava is not uprooting the pasuk from its simple meaning. Which means, even though we're learning the words asher lo orasa for gezera shava, but after all, the simple meaning is that there is some kind of exclusion here if she was me'oreset. It says asher lo orasa, which means there has to be some kind of a difference that if she was me'oreset, it has to be different than the regular case of a na'ara. So therefore, it comes out well, according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, the difference is that by regular Na'ara, the Knas goes to the father, and by the case of Na'ara who got engaged, it goes to her. So there is a fulfillment of the simple meaning of the Pasuk of Asher Lo Orasa, which comes to exclude, to make the case of Me'oreset different, even though it's used for Gzera Shava. Ela le Rabbi Akiva de Braita, but according to Rabbi Akiva of the Braita that holds that not only the Me'oreset does receive the Knas, but the Knas goes to her father, just like a regular case of Na'ara Betula who was raped. So it comes out, Atia Gezera Shava Umapka Mipshate Legamre. It comes out that the fact that you're using the words Asher Lo Orasa for the Gzera Shava that we learned before is totally uprooting it from its simple meaning of its context. So that's a little problem with the version of Rabbi Akiva of the Braita. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers, it's not totally uprooting the meaning of the Pasuk. Karibe asher lo arusa. When it says in asher lo orasa, it can be read asher lo arusa, that she is not currently engaged. That's what the Pasuk means. And that's the case that we're talking about. We're talking about a case where she's not currently engaged. She got megoreshet. After she was engaged, she was divorced, and then she was ne'eneset. So therefore, kari be asher lo arusa, not orasa, that she was never engaged, asher lo arusa, that she is not currently engaged. Which comes to exclude that if she is currently engaged and that's when the rape happened, then in la knas, it would exclude that there's no knas in that case. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What do I need a pasuk to teach me that if she's currently engaged, there's no knas? Arusa, batskilahi. To be with someone else's engaged woman, that's punishable by skila. So, en adam metum shalem, of course he doesn't pay knas, because he has to be sentenced to death by skila, and you don't get both the death penalty and the monetary penalty. Answers the Gemara, well, no, I need the pasuk to tell me that. You know why? Salka data chamina, I would have thought to say, ho'il v'chidushu shechitshat Torah b'knas, since knas is a chidush, like we mentioned, a knas meaning a penalty of money, not a reimbursement payment, such as this Chamishim Kesef of Knas. I would have thought, since it's a chidush, it's a novelty that the Torah made, so afal gav de miktil meshalem, so I would say the novelty goes further, that even in the case where he's liable for death, he also has to pay the monetary payment. That's why I need the Torah to say, no, asher lo arusa. If she's currently arusa, he does not pay the Knas, he only receives skila. Ule Rabba de Amar, but what do you do according to Rabba, who we mentioned a few times already before in our perek, who holds chidushu shechitshat Torah biknas, afal gav de miktil meshalem, ma'ika lemeima? According to Rabba, who holds in fact that since knas is a chidush, therefore the chidush is extended to say that even if he is liable to be sentenced to death, he still has to pay. So now what are you going to say? You can't explain that the pasuk asher lo arusa is coming to exclude arusa, because even by arusa, where there is skila, still there would be knas. It's not excluded. According to Rabba, there would be knas.
Well, the Gemara answers, that's not a problem. Rabba, you're asking, Savar la ke Rabbi Akiva de Matnitin. He holds like Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. That Asher lo orasa comes to tell us that the knas is different, although she receives knas, but it goes to herself. It doesn't go to her father. The whole question was only on Rabbi Akiva de Braita. Rabba, you're asking on Rabba. Rabba holds like Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah. Therefore, it's not a question on him. Now the Gemara brings us a Braita. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita, knasa lemi, the knas of anusa. Going back to a regular case, the knas that is given in a case of onis, in the case of rape, to who is it given? Lemi. So the first opinion says le'aviha, to her father. Ve'yeshomim le'atzma, some say to herself. The Gemara immediately asks, what do you mean? Le'atzma amai. How do you have an opinion that says you give it to her? Are the pasuk says ve'natan la'aviha na'ara. It's open pasuk. That in the case of the na'ara who is raped, the 50 kesef, chamishim shekalim kesef is given to the father. So what do you mean ve'yeshomim le'atzma? Amar Rav Chisda says, "Hacha b'na'ara shenitarsa v'nitgarsha askinan." The Braita is not talking about a regular case. The Braita is talking about a na'ara that was me'oreset, received kiddushin, then she was divorced, and then she was ne'eneset, she was raped. That's the case the Braita is talking about. V'kamifli give plukta de Rabbi Akiva de matnitin ve'Rabbi Akiva de Braita. And this Braita is recording the two opinions. In Rabbi Akiva, the one opinion in Rabbi Akiva, which is in our Mishnah, that it goes to herself, that's the one who says v'yeshomim le'atzma. And the Rabbi Akiva of the Braita, who said it goes to the father, that's the one who said in this Braita le'aviha. So that's the explanation of that Braita. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, ba'aleha umeta patur. If let's say the rapist raped the na'ara, umeta, and she died before the father had the chance to go to bedin and to claim and to sue the me'anes in the bedin to make the claim against him. She died afterwards, right after the ones. She died before there was a chance to go to bedin to convict the rapist. Patur. In that case, the ones does not pay the knas. Sheneemar, because we learn from the pasuk venatan la'avi na'ara velo la'avi meta, you have to give to the father of the na'ara. Mashma, the na'ara is still around; she's still alive, not the father of one who already died. The Gemara says milta de pshita lele abaye mi baya lele rava. This halacha that was so simple to Abaye, that in this case, if she died, he's patur from the knas, was something that's not so simple to Rava. Rava, in fact, had a doubt about this. De ba'e Rava. Rava had a question. Yesh beger bakever o en beger bakever? Is the status of bagrut achieved even after death, even after one is lo'alenu buried, or not? Which means like this. The Gemara explains the she'ela of Rava. Yesh beger bakever ve'divna have? Do we say that even after she died, but still, bagrut, the age of grown woman status, is achieved, and then the knas goes to her son? Or dilma en beger bakever, or maybe since she died as a na'ara, u'de'aviya havi, then it stays, it is given, the knas is given to the father. Which means like this, the halacha is that if chas v'shalom a na'ara is raped, and let's say the me'anis did not pay the fine, of Chamishim Kesef, until she became a bogeret, until she became a grown woman. He raped her between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, and then after 12 and a half, and of course she has simanim also of bagrut, then that's when he comes with the money. So then, the halacha is that the rapist has to pay the fine to her, not to her father. When he pays the knas to the, when she's a na'ara, then it's given to the father. But once she becomes a bogeret, then the money has to be given to her. So the question that Rava is asking, in a case where the Na'ara died, and now the Me'anes was only convicted after the time elapsed, that if she was alive, she would have reached the status of Bagrut. So the question is, do we say Yesh Beger Bakever? Even though she died as a Na'ara, does she achieve the status of Bagrut in the grave? And therefore, she's entitled to receive the knas.
So now that she's not alive, it should be given to her son because he inherits her. Or do we say no achievement of bagrut status is in the grave? She died as a na'ara, and that's it. And therefore, even if it's given, the knas is given a year later, it should be given to the father, because when she died, she was still a na'ara. That's the question of Rava. What do you see from here, bottom line? That which was pashut to Abaye, who said that if she died as a na'ara, the me'anes is patur altogether from paying the knas, we see was not so simple. Rava did not hold that that's so pashut, because look, he's having a question, to who does it go? Does it go to the father or does it go to the son? That means Rava held that he does have to pay the knas. Now, the Gemara is asking, on this specific case that Rava is, he had a doubt if the knas goes to the son or to the father, the Gemara is asking, how is it even possible, realistically speaking? At the time that she died, she was a na'ara. So now you're asking, if you give it to her son, umi me'abra, can a ktana or a na'ara become pregnant and have a son? I mean, v'hatani rabbibi kamid Rav Nachman, rabbibi said a braita in front of Rav Nachman, shalosh nashim meshameshot bemoch. There are three women that they are allowed, chachamim allowed them to have marital relations with a moch, with a contraceptive at the time when they're having the relations, in order not to become pregnant, and it's not considered forbidden. It's not forbidden. The Eluhen, who are they? Ktana umuberet umenika. A ktana, or a pregnant woman, or a nursing woman. Because in all these three cases, it's considered dangerous if they become pregnant, and therefore they're allowed to stop it by using a contraceptive, a moch. And the Braita explains, Ktana shema tit'aber v'tamut. By the Ktana, maybe chas v'shalom, she will become pregnant and she will die. Me'uberet shema ta'aseh u'bara sandal. By the case of the pregnant woman, it's not so much a danger to her, but it could be a danger to her fetus that is already inside her. That if she will have relations while she has a fetus inside her womb, so maybe her fetus that is there, the first one, will become deformed. He will become a sandal. He will become deformed. Menika, and a nursing woman. Shema tigmol et bena. Maybe once she becomes pregnant while she's nursing, her milk will spoil, and that will lead her to be tigmol et bena. She will wean her son prematurely, she'll stop nursing her first baby prematurely, and that would be endangering his health. The Braita continues and says, "Ve'ezohi ketana," and when it says ketana is allowed to use a moch, what age are we talking about? Mibat 11 shana v'yom echad ad 12 shana v'yom echad, from 11 to 12. Pachot mikan, less than 11. Ve'yater al ken, and more than 12. So then, meshameshet kedarka veolechet divrei Rabbi Meir. Then no moch needs to be used, according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, chachamim say, achat zu, ve'achat zu, the one who's less than 11, or the one who is older than 12, meshameshet kedarka veolechet, umina shamayim irachamu, and from Shamayim they will have rachamim that she shouldn't come to sakana, to danger. Mishum she'ne'emar shomer petayim Hashem, as it says in the pasuk, Hashem guards the innocent. He protects the innocent. So now what do we see? This is the end of the Braita. What do we see from the Braita? That a ktana is not able to become pregnant and to give birth because it's very dangerous. If she does become pregnant, she'll die, it says here in the Braita. So this is a question on the scenario that Rava is talking about. Rava asks a question, if she was a na'ara and she was raped, and then she died. Well, does the rapist comes a year later to give the knas, does he give it to her son or does he give it to her father? Her son? What do you mean? She died as a na'ara. How was she able to be pregnant and have a son? And if you want to tell me that Rava is talking about a case that she became pregnant while she was a na'ara, when she was 12 years old and one day, and she gave birth while she was still a na'ara, and then that's when she died. How's that possible? But she's only a na'ara for 6 months. In 6 months, she'll give birth? What do you mean? And as Shmuel said, the time of na'arut to bagrut is only 6 months and not more. And v'chitayman, if you want to explain that Shmuel means batzirhu deleka, what he means is that the time from na'arut is no less than 6 months. Hatfeika, but it's possible to be a na'ara longer than 6 months. So then it's possible that she became pregnant when she's a na'ara. Ha'ela kama, but Shmuel said, en b'na'arut lebagrut, ela means only shisha chodashim. So we're back to the question, what's the scenario that Rava is talking about? Ela hachi kami bayale. This is what Rava meant to ask. That after she died, the time of bagrut came, do we say, yesh beger bakever, that she achieves the status of bagrut even after death, and she goes out from the domain of her father, upaka av, and the entitlement, the rights of her father is expired, and in that case, the me'anes does not pay the knas at all, because there's no one to pay it to. That's what he means. It doesn't mean, does he pay it to her son? There's no scenario where she has a son. It means, do we say, yesh beger bakever, that she achieves the status of bagrut even after death, and therefore she goes out of the reshut of her father, and since she went out of the reshut of her father, then there's no one to pay the knas to. O dilma en beger bakever, or do we say there's no beger achieved in the kever, velo paka'av, and the zechut, the right of the father, did not expire, and then the me'anes has to still pay, even a year later he pays the father. That was the question of Rava. Mar Baravashi, he said over the doubt of Rava as follows. Mita osa bagrut o en osa bagrut? Does death immediately achieve the status of bagrut, which means the father will no longer receive the knas, o en osa bagrut? Or it does not achieve bagrut, and therefore the father can still receive the knas. Right? So, bottom line, that's the same question that Rava had regarding yesh beger bakever or not, which means if the father receives the knas or not, and the Gemara stays with a teiku. The question of Rava stays unresolved. Now Rava asked the question from Abaye. Ba'aleha venit'arsa. Let's say he raped a na'ara, and then afterwards she became engaged. Mahu. What is the halakha? Do we say that the knas goes to the father or it goes to herself because now that she became engaged, so she left the reshut of her father and therefore she receives the knas? Amar le, Abaye told him, Mikti venatan la'aviya na'ara asher lo arusa. Does it say in the pasuk that he gives to the father of the na'ara who is not engaged? No. He gives to the father of the na'ara, it says in the pasuk, whether she got engaged after that or not, which means the Torah makes no difference. Even if she got engaged afterwards, still the knas goes to the father. Rava asked him, Uli ta'amich, and according to your reasoning that you just told me, that you prove from the fact that the Torah did not make any difference in the time of the payment, venatan lavi na'ara, it says, you give to the father of the na'ara, whether she's arusa or not. So what do you do with the following braita? Ha de tanya, this that we learned in a braita. Ba'aleha veniset le'atzma. It says openly in a braita that if he raped her, and then she got married, not only me'oreset, but then she went ahead and got married, and then the knas is being paid to her for the case of the rape, le'atzma, the knas goes to herself. Miktiv, so Rava is asking on a baye, what do you do with that braita? Miktiv enatan avi anara asher lo nesua. After all, does it say Venatana Vyanara who is not married? Seems like the Torah should not make any difference between if she got married afterwards or not. So what do you see from here? That you should say that just like if she got married afterwards, the knas goes to her, the same thing should be by Arusa. But Abaye answers. He says, Hachi Hashta, what are you comparing? Hatam, over there by the case where she actually got married, fully married, Nisu'in. That has a din of bagrut. Ho'ilu bagrut motzi'a mirshut av, ve'nisu'im motzi'im mirshut av. Since we know that bagrut, the age of a grown woman of 12 and a half, takes her out of the reshut of the father, and nisu'im, getting married, also takes her out of the reshut of the father, such as, for example, for the nedarim, no longer can he nullify her vows,
Only the husband can do so now. So we compare. Ma bagrut ba'aleha u'bagra le'atzma. Just like by bagrut. If, let's say, she was raped as a na'ara and then she became a bogeret. The knas goes to herself. Af nisu'im ba'aleha v'niset le'atzma. So to by nisu'im. If she was raped and then afterwards she got married, then the knas goes to her. Ela erusin. But if she was only me'oreset afterwards, she didn't become married, she became only engaged, we can't learn from bagrut. Mikamap ki mirshuta de'av legamre? Does erusin alone take her out of the reshut of the father, like bagrut? We know not. Hatnan, we learned a Mishnah in Maseret Nedarim. Na'ara ha'me'orasa, aviha u'ba'ala mefirim la nedaria. The father still has jurisdiction. He still has the right, together with the chatan who engaged her, to still be able to be mefer, to nullify her nedarim. So erusin alone does not take her out of the reshut of the father. And therefore, it's still possible to say that if she only got engaged afterwards, the knas still goes to the father.